Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're going to start a new series, and the next few days and weeks we'll be teaching on the good fight of faith. If you want to know what is required to walk and fight this good fight of faith that Paul was talking to Timothy about, just stay with us and listen, and we will tell you and teach you how this thing works. At the end of the program, you'll hear some numbers of how to get this teaching free in its entirety.
I mean, that's where I was. I was just like that in all my life. So I didn't know what this book said. So when I began to read this thing line by line and start reading this, I said, hey, there's something here that either these people don't understand or I don't understand or we all don't understand, but there's something about this book. And when I begin to learn how to fight the fight of faith, does it pay great dividends? Yes, it does. Praise the King. It pays great dividends. Now, God has provided a full arsenal of weapons for His people to be able to win against the devil. When He went back from here to heaven, He didn't leave us without anything. He left us with everything you can imagine to win over the devil with. This book and this new covenant is filled with mighty weapons. Now, we fight all kinds of fight except the one the Lord told us to fight. We fight against each other. I tell you, if you're not Baptist, you ain't going to heaven. No, if you ain't independent Baptist, you ain't going to heaven. No, if you ain't Southern Baptist, you can't get to heaven. You know, I just use a Baptist because I was raised up at a Baptist church, you know, so it doesn't make any difference who we are. Catholic, you ain't Catholic, Thurman, you can't get to heaven. Only those of us Catholics are going to get to heaven, you know. If you don't pray in the name of Mary, you ain't going to get your prayers answered. Well, that's not what the book says. So I decided one day to believe what the book says. And so when I begin to believe what the book says, I begin to see the Lord do great and mighty things. Now, if we are supposed to fight the good fight of faith, then there must be enemies or hindrances to it. Is that right? You've got to have an enemy out there. So, you cannot go beyond knowledge. And I've made this statement so many times to people. You cannot go beyond knowledge in anything, so you must know what God's Word promises you, or you will lose to the devil every time. Now, somebody will say, well, they come up here and I pray for them, rebuke the enemy, lay hands on them or whatever, and I say, are you healed? Well, I hope so. No, that won't never work. Not I hope so. You got to know so. Well, okay, if you know so, okay, I know so. How do you know so? Do you know a scripture anywhere in God's Word that guarantees He's going to do for you what He promised to do? Well, I said, oh, I know. I heard a guy say one time in a church somewhere, by His stripes I'm healed. I said, okay, you have any idea where that's found? No. Do you know it's really true? Have you ever seen it in your Bible? Well, nobody heard a preacher say that. I said, you can't depend on what these preachers say. I said, you don't trust nothing I say if I can't confirm it to you from the Word of God. If I can't confirm what I teach you from this book, you don't believe not one second what I teach you. Only if God said it can you stand on it with no doubt in your heart. Now, if Thurman said it, it don't carry no weight. But if the King said it in that book, then I can take it to the bank. And that's how I stood on His promises in the New Covenant for my leg and my arm. But it hadn't been many years ago that I didn't even have the faith to go to Brownwood and pray for my aunt laying there in the hospital, seeing all this skin all eat up and her sitting there suffering. I didn't even pray for that woman while I was there. Can you imagine a man that's been a deacon and a Sunday school teacher so dumb about God's Word that he'd go visit his aunt and she's hurting and I don't even pray for her before I leave? Typical. Typical. You've done that too, huh? So I ain't the only guy that ever lived there, huh? But isn't it a shame? Here I was at that time probably 45 years old. Maybe this has been, at least 20 years ago, I guess, a long time, because she's been dead a few years. So time gets by, and she lived to be 80 years old. But 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I virtually had no knowledge of these mighty promises in God's Word. Wow. Now, what can I not do? I cannot go beyond knowledge. For you ladies that are raising daughters, if you don't teach that girl how to cook, if you won't take the time with that girl to teach her how to cook, she's going to be in trouble when she gets married. Because the honeymoon usually only lasts about a week. And then the guy's going to get hungry. Now, he can go without food for a week. But after a week, unless he's fasted, he's going to get to be a hungry critter. And most of them, when they're young, they never heard of fasting. They don't know what fasting is. We only know what feasting is. Now, I'm going to tell you also at this point, many of the people that I've met in my life are sick because they have eaten the wrong things. Now, again, I believe the enemy is behind this. I believe Satan is behind all sickness and disease, either directly or indirectly. So he has far more impact on us than we think. I can assure you that every one of you has had at least one or a multitude of demons assigned to you by one of the spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Now, Satan may not know your name personally. If you've not done any damage to his kingdom, if you've not taught his word and you're a normal believer, he probably don't know who you are. But he has spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies that know who you are, and they have assigned demons to you to torment you and defeat you while you're here, especially those of you that are born-again Christians. He knows every one of you. Now, those of you that have stepped into the realm of praying for people, teaching them what sin is, and laying hands on them, God starts healing them, those messages are going to get back to the spiritual wickedness, and they're going to get back to the devil, and he's going to assign some more powerful ones against you. So get ready. You better start studying the Word. I will guarantee you. You know what I'm talking about, right, brother? When you become a threat, I mean, just like when I was in the military in Vietnam, we had a little group of guys out here that had nothing, and they were off out in the jungle. They had no weapons. No, you weren't too concerned about those. But when they began to move tanks and weapons and things over into this section, you knew you had to do something. Because then people can come in and destroy you. So now you concentrate your efforts with your air power and everything else to knock them out. And that's what blew me out of the water when I was in Vietnam, how we fought such a limited war. You know, we had limited targets we could hit, but yet all over the place there was an enemy that we could destroy, but they wouldn't let us. It didn't make no sense to me at all. But whenever the Gulf War came on the first time, I told my son, he wasn't old enough to go at that time, but he was getting close. And I said, I'm going to make a statement to you that if Bush fights a war like was fought in Vietnam, I said, son, you're not going to that war. I said, I was a young, dumb kid back in those days, and I didn't have a clue what's going on. Today, I'm a much older man. I know what's going on, and I know we have the firepower to wipe them out in just a few days, that third world country. So I said, if Bush starts a war like they did in Vietnam, and starts calling you guys in, I said, I may go to jail with you, but you are not going to fight in a war like I fought in Vietnam. Not going to go. But I think Bush knew that. And that's why he wiped them out in 30 days. Because we had that power. Now see, that's what we have as a church. We have the power to wipe out our enemy because our enemy is completely disarmed and defeated by our king. He didn't leave an enemy here with power. He left a defeated, stripped, powerless enemy here and then give us all power to fight against him. And most of us don't know it. So when he comes against us in sickness and disease, he kills most of us. And we don't have a clue how to fight the fight of faith or what we can get from our Lord. Now then, the thing about it is, I don't care if your daughter don't know how to cook. She cannot go beyond knowledge. If you didn't teach her how to cook, she can't cook. And until somebody teaches her, she will not be a cook. And that's just like, I don't care if you're a lawyer, a doctor, a mechanic, you know, a plumber, whatever you are, a secretary, anything, you have to be trained. Now, we train our children and send them off to college and everything else so we say they will be, you know, successful in life. But to be successful in life, the Word of God clearly says in Joshua 1:8, if you'll hide the Word in your heart, meditate on it day and night, then, he says, you will have great success in life. That's what he says. So we teach our children wrong. The average child, even that's Christian, that's in church, when they go off to college, I can assure you that most of those children cannot quote five verses from God's Word. So when they go, they have no armament. The armament is the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God hidden in your heart, you cannot defeat the devil without the Word of God. You must have the Word of God hidden in your heart, or at least have it in your hand, and know where to find it. Because when the enemy comes against you, as a rule, if you get bitten by a spider, most people don't have time to go start studying the Word for hours or days trying to figure out how to fight this fight of faith. If you don't have it in your heart right then, you're in big trouble. By the time you find the answers, you may be dead because the enemy will defeat you. So, knowledge, you can't go beyond it. Now that we do not know what the plan of redemption provides for us, so we live far below what is rightfully ours. Now for years, I had no knowledge of what the plan of redemption provided. But the new birth, what does it promise you? What can you do after you become a Christian? Well, if you were like I was, I didn't have a clue. First of all, how do you become a Christian? Just like the couple last night. They could not lead that young woman, 38-year-old young woman, to Jesus, but they called from New York to ask me to do it, although I had led both of them to Christ. They had both accepted Jesus. They're both only new babes in Christ within a year or two. Their husband, he's only about like you are, about a year, something like that, 9, 10, 12 months. And she came in about a year before he did. But he saw the change in her life and saw her getting healed of her problem. And so he was a Buddhist, went to a Buddhist temple. He said, hey, this stuff's not working for me. He said, this Jesus that Thurman led you to, he's changing your life. So he said, I need that Jesus. I said, how do I do it? She said, call Thurman. He'll tell you. And so he called me, and I talked to him and led him to Jesus the very first time over the telephone. And, of course, his total life changed. So now he wants me to do this for this other woman, which we did last night. But Romans 10:13, 8-13 makes you the promise, the simple plan of salvation. And if you don't know this, for goodness sakes, hide this in your heart. This is the most important thing that you can do for the Lord and for other people. Is to bring people into the kingdom of God. And this is what you need to do. In Romans 10, starting in verse 8, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. So there's that word of faith that we preach. You must believe this stuff. You can't just voice this stuff. It's got to penetrate down into your spirit to be a reality to you. Many people walk down the aisle and say, I want to be saved. And they say, well, I believe I'm saved. Now I walk down the aisle. And they walk out that door and nothing changed. They're still just as mean. They still cuss. They still drink. They still smoke pot. They still smoke cigarettes.
We're going to have to stop right there today on the teaching, but we'll start there again tomorrow. We invite you to join us again tomorrow to hear the continuation of the Good Fight of Faith. If you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would contact our ministry center at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or go to the web at www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. And there you can order these teachings as well as many other teachings free and postpaid. We would love to send them to you free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He is God and Lord of all. And we praise Him and thank Him for the privilege to teach His Word.